Hello, Ducks fans. Welcome to another episode of the Quack Report, where we will go over the last couple games that the Anaheim Ducks have played and that all important. We'll just say the goal that everybody is probably tuning in to hear about here. Because, oh man, that was fucking magic. But before we get to that,
I'm still cleaning up from it.
Yeah, right. There's not enough Kleenexes in the world, right?
No. Welcome to the Quack Report. This is a PG-13 at best show.
At best. On a good day. Best. Yeah.
On a good day. Yeah. Otherwise, probably rated R.
Yeah. It's honestly 14A at, I'd say, at the minimum. PG-13 is.
Okay. So here's something I learned a couple of years ago now. Mm-hmm. 14A is actually a Canadian thing. It's the equivalent of rated R in the States. That's why don't see rated R movies technically in Canada. It's rated 14A. Yeah. So
interesting.
There you go. Just I had another, no idea. Another difference to learn. Yeah.
I don't think PG-13 is a American thing either.
No, PG-13 is.
It is? Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Because it was a big thing. I remember with Revenge of the Sith. That was the first Star Wars movie to be listed as PG-13. So it was like a big thing for like in the States and that kind of thing too. Spoilers for anybody who hasn't seen Revenge of the Sith, which came out in 2005, so it's what, 16 years old now. Dude gets burned alive. So
yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty dark. Yeah. No, yeah. That makes sense.
Still one of my favorite Star Wars movies though, and always just makes me want to go barbecue.
I know this isn't from Revenge of the
Sith. Again, welcome to the Quack Report, everybody.
I know this isn't from Revenge of the Sith, so like, don't cancel me for this. But right. I still love that every year around Christmas time, you put the Darth Vader Yule log on.
Yes. So for anybody kind of confused right now, there is a video on YouTube that I don't even know who made it, so I can't even credit them right now. But I have it saved in my watch later for every Christmas, right? There's always like, you know, like the log, like the fireplace channel or something like that, right?
I don't have the special on Netflix now.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't have like cable or that, right? So my thing that I would do instead was I pull up this video from YouTube, and it was, you know, like the cremation of Darth Vader at the end of Return of the Jedi, but it's on like a 6-hour loop. So it's just Darth Vader burning, essentially. Like, you don't see anything obviously happen or that, because they don't show that in the movie. But yeah, that's what I throw on. So just add that little bit of nerdiness in there. So, yeah. But yeah, exactly.
Oh, I just wish that somebody like green screened in like someone roasting a marshmallow.
Oh my god, that'd be hilarious! No, you gotta get one of the Ewoks.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Okay, I'm gonna really mess with you here for a second, actually, in relation to that movie, just really quickly. All right.
Okay.
So, you know, at the end of that movie, like everybody's celebrating the rebels and the Ewoks, right? They're all celebrating on Endor there, and like they're eating and stuff like that. And then you realize that, you know, like there's the one scene of the, you know, the Ewok, he's playing like essentially drums on stormtrooper helmets and that kind of stuff. Right. Mm-hmm. That scene gets really haunting for a second. If you think back to earlier in the movie, that group of Ewoks were about to cook Luke, Han, and Chewie. Did they cook all those stormtroopers? And if you're a human, like, so say like, you know, Luke, Han, and Leia, like, are they participating in cannibalism and or knowing about it potentially in that scene?
Potentially, yeah.
I guess for aliens, it doesn't matter, right? Like, because it's a different species kind of thing, but it's just, yeah. So just something for you to think about the next time you watch that movie.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to everyone whose Wednesday night got ruined by that, but I promise we're going to talk about the Ducks here.
Yes,
so.
But I have one more thing, because was it the last episode that we talked about the U of L and the medium rare chicken?
Yes.
Okay.
Or actually, it might have been two.
Or two episodes. Okay.
Very recently, either way. Anyways. Yeah.
Before we get into, you know, like how we are and that kind of stuff, I want to share this with you. I don't know if you saw this today. All right.
Okay.
It's in relation to the U of L, which is why I wanted to bring it up here. But it's not, you know, something the U of L did or that. It's a former employee.
Oh, okay.
So I think you've heard the first part of this, but not maybe not the most recent aspect to it.
No.
So this, so this, I guess this was actually a couple of years ago, technically, that this came out. So in March of 2018, members of the University of Lethbridge had discovered fraud perpetrated by a fellow employee. There was an investigation by the police services, and apparently because of this employee's, quote, abused her detailed knowledge of the financial systems of the University of Lethbridge and falsified records to conceal the estimated theft of $580,000. So just over $500,000 she stole from this university that we go to. And according to the police, the thefts occurred over more than a one period time. The person had more than 30 years of experience at the U of L as well, right? So, mm-hmm. you know, this is kind of like a, they would have known this for a while, like a long time kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So today or yesterday, I guess, the this lady had her court date and that kind of thing, where she pled not guilty to the fraud charges.
Wild. I thought you were gonna tie it back and say she like was gonna say that she was not in the right headspace and was like insane. No, she because she ate medium rare guilty. Chicken.
No, pled not guilty for charges of fraud over $5,000, theft over $5,000, and possession of stolen property over $5,000. So she pleaded guilty or not guilty to all three charges pressed against her. Wild. That are valued at over $500,000.
That's wild.
Like, okay, well, I feel like that almost proves that the fact that you're getting apparently a good lawyer and you're on fraud charges right now.
Yeah.
You're not helping your case at all, I don't think. So did you hear about that today at all?
No, I didn't hear about that. No. Okay. I knew about the story, but I didn't know the most recent part. Yeah,
so that just came out today. So I had to laugh at it though, because it's another not the U of L's doing, but just like, you know, some like an employee. So just kind of tied in that sense. But
yeah.
So that was something that was going around. But yeah, the charges were laid this summer is what it was. So it all came to the forefront and that kind of thing. But yeah, that's just like how much of an idiot do you have to be like, no, I didn't steal over $500,000. I got a great lawyer here, but you know, I had money beforehand kind of thing. But mm-hmm. if you had money beforehand, why did you need to steal all that money? Right. There's a lot of questions that you go down right away. So
I
like read the headline. I'm like, are you kidding me right now? I'm like, all right, sure, whatever. Mm-hmm. So, that's wild, her next scheduled appearance is near the beginning of January here. So we will have you and I at least will have more on that.
Some more dates coming soon.
Yeah, nice. in about a month. So
that'll be good. All right. Seeing some people in the comments here. Marcus saying, "I'm here. Do not panic." Good to see you again, Marcus. It's been a while since we've even done a live stream.
I was gonna say, are we actually live right now? Like, it's been like 2 weeks.
Yeah, right. We got Chris chiming in here. Quack quack. I know we got a question coming up from him later that we're gonna answer. So yes. Very exciting stuff. Okay, let's get into the Ducks, because there's lots to unpack over these last couple games.
Yes, let's do it.
Let's start with the game on Monday against the Caps, the 4-3 shootout loss, because there's only a few things to talk about here. It'll be quick, and then we can, you know, all board the hype train. But, another game going to extra time against the Capitals. So, we won the last one, got a point out of the deal in this one, in the shootout loss. So, 3 out of 4 points against the Caps. Not mad about that at all. You have a thought on Gibson here, just in regards to the shootout.
So it was against the Flames that we had that last shootout, right? And we said it kind of seemed like he was off for that, right? And the Ducks go into the shootout for this game, and I'm like, okay, here's, you know, Gibson's been playing all right, and let's, you know, this is kind of a bounce back. And he kind of seemed the same again, just kind of seemed off on shootouts. So is this something that I just haven't really picked up on? Because like, Did we even have any shootouts last year? I don't think we did. We just got run over in the first. We just got run over in the first 30 seconds of overtime, so we never got to a shootout. But I'm trying to remember if this was like a thing in the past as well with him, that he just wasn't great with shootouts or that. Because like something seems to be off right now with John Gibson in the shootout. And
like I know we talked last time at great length that it was, that we thought it was that he was getting tired, right? But after this one, considering he had a pretty good game against the Caps, like it makes you think maybe it is just a shootout thing. I don't know. There's some players out there that they're like dog shit 5-on-5 or on the power play panel. Doesn't matter. The regulation time and overtime. They're amazing
on shootouts,
But yeah, they just figure it out. And there's the opposite as well. Same with goaltenders. Some of them are great like 1-on-1. Some of them aren't. Mm-hmm. Maybe Gibson's he can do everything else. Maybe shootouts are just the one thing he can't do, and that's fine by me.
So should we be training Stolarz just for shootouts and then just have him swap in, right?
Can you even do that?
You can technically do that.
Really?
Yep.
That's wild. I would have thought there would be a rule that
As far as I know, you can do that. So, or at least... Yeah. Maybe it's just for an injury, but I don't see why you wouldn't be able to just swap.
Yeah,
right?
That seems like a poor choice anyways, though. Like, you're going in totally cold against, like, some of the greatest shooters and danglers that the NHL can throw at you. Like, that's asking for a pulled groin right there.
Yeah, but at the same time, you're not doing the normal kind of movements you would in a game, right? You got one guy coming basically straight at you. Mm-hmm. He's the only thing you're focused on. Good.
I don't know.
I don't suggest it, but you could.
No, I don't think so. I'm trying to just find his shootout stats. Apparently that's something that most people don't just care to look up, so it's hard to find. I'll try this last website, and if I don't find it, then it doesn't matter. Wins, losses, ties, overtime, shootout losses. I keep seeing SO and I'm like, oh, that's what I want, but that's shutouts. not finding it. That's okay. I don't know. Something to keep an eye on, though, is Gibson in the shootouts. Like, it's possible. It's just not his thing. But
Because we've had, those have been the two shootouts for this year, right?
It's small. We've had three. We did one before that big win streak we went on. Yeah. That I think was also a loss. So, lost to the Caps. Lost to the Flames. Lost to Vegas in a shootout, and it doesn't tell you shootout wins though, does it?
No, but I'm just going through the schedule here. Like, I'm just scrolling through it to see where.
Yeah.
Yeah, shootout loss to Vegas 5-4.
The NHL standings used to show the shootout record. I bet they don't anymore because they suck.
So, we're 0-3 right now in the shootout. And if I'm not mistaken, that game against Vegas as well. Was John Gibson.
Yep. Actually, we're 1-3 in the shootout. I don't know which one we won, but 1-3.
Wait, we're 1-3? Because I guess it just shows win, right? It wouldn't show like win.
It wouldn't show shootout win,
Yeah.
But in the standings, it shows we're 1-3, so...
Okay.
I have no idea what the game is that we won in the shootout. I can't think
right
of it
now.
But that's I remember that it was a Shattenkirk winner though. And it was pretty recently. It's coming back.
Oh yeah, it was.
Who was that? Oh god. This is gonna bug us now, so that's why we have to look it up.
It absolutely is. Was it the Kings? Was it that game? Yes, it was.
It was?
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, because it was like spoiling Doughty's return and stuff like that. So,
right.
Yeah. Which also, that brings up another thing as well. Like, that was great that Shattenkirk had pulled out the winner against the Kings. But what is Dallas Eakins' like fascination with having second, third pairing defenseman Kevin Shattenkirk in the first three, four shooters of the shootout? There are plenty of other guys.
No, he's done that all season, and it's worked except for that last one. I honestly have no issue with it. I think that's a great choice. Shattenkirk has a good shot if he can.
The only one that Shattenkirk scored on is that winner one. He hasn't scored on any of the other ones.
Oh, okay. Well, he still has a good shot. Like, I have no issue with that at all.
But at the same time, Okay, just picture yourself for a second here. All right, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to visualize. All right.
Okay.
We're gonna do some role playing here.
Okay.
But not the naughty kind.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
My eyes are closed.
You're okay. Dallas Eakins. Mm-hmm. You're standing on the bench.
I am Dallas Eakins.
Behind the Anaheim Ducks.
Behind the Anaheim Ducks.
All right. Your team is about to go into the shootout.
My team is about to go into the shootout.
All right. You look down the bench. You have some great scorers. Even, you know, mm-hmm. recently, you got Zegras, you got mm-hmm. Milano,
yeah.
you got Raquel.
Yeah. I have a question. Is Dallas Eakins supposed to be hard at this point? Or
okay, who have I said? Zegras, Milano, Raquel, a young offensive defenseman in Jamie Drysdale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. And,
my eyes are closed. Yeah.
Yeah, and on a good day as well, you have Ryan Getzlaff, a veteran in the league who leads the Anaheim Ducks in points, like career-wise.
What's he going to do, pass it into the net?
you have Adam Henrique, mm-hmm. who's a good goal scorer. On a good day, you have Silfverberg, who's also a pretty good goal scorer. When
have you said
to.
Troy Terry yet?
No, I haven't said Troy Terry yet.
Okay.
All right? So mm-hmm. on a good night... Right. So maybe not this last one, but on a mm-hmm. good night, you look down the bench and you see those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look down the other side and you see mm-hmm. Kevin Shattenkirk there, who is your second or third pairing defenseman.
Okay.
And
yeah.
you go, I want him
to, I want be, my, that guy.
To be my yeah, okay. second, third, or fourth shot.
Yeah. I'm done being Dallas Eakins now. I hate it. I see your point. Yeah. Okay.
You have all these other great shooters in front of him, and mm-hmm. that's the guy you go with.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. That's totally fair. But I mean, I guess his thought is that he got that shootout winner against the Kings, so you give him another chance, see if he can do that again.
Yeah.
You don't do it again, though.
No, you go to Shattenkirk when you're done with all of those guys.
Yeah. We're talking like eighth round max.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Or no, eighth round at least, which hopefully it doesn't get to that.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry. Right? Yeah. Eighth because round
those,
minimum. Yeah.
Because those other good scorers are going to do it. They're going to handle that. Right. Mm-hmm. But you look down the bench and you go, no, this is what I want here. Kevin Shattenkirk.
I want 37-year-old, like, if the wind is too strong, we'll snap his kneecaps, probably, Kevin Shattenkirk. I don't even know if any of that is true. He's I have no idea how old this guy is.
He's like 33, maybe.
Okay, but he doesn't look 33. He's 32. Jeez.
Oh, God. Okay. Either way, though, you're going, I want, like, two-way defenseman at best, not an offensive defenseman by any means. Mm-hmm. As much as he's been putting up points, he's more of a two-way guy at most, yeah. right?
Mm-hmm.
I want two-way defenseman Kevin Shattenkirk to be my third or fourth shooter. Like,
yeah, okay, yeah.
You see where I'm coming from here now?
Yeah, I do. Okay,
logically, it doesn't make sense. I'm glad it worked against the Kings, but why did it even get down to that point that quickly?
Yeah, it's fair. Didn't he score that game? I thought he scored against the Kings, and that's why.
Let me double check. But either way, you're in a skills competition, essentially, right?
Yeah.
It's you want your best shooter against mm-hmm. the goaltender.
Yeah. Okay.
Right?
Kevin Shattenkirk
want the best
win.
Opportunity yeah. to score. It's not going to be a cross crease pass or anything like that, or a wind up from the point,
mm-hmm.
right? You want a guy with hands or who can pick a spot from, like, from the hash marks.
Yeah. No, that's fair. Yeah, he did that game against the Kings. He had two assists, and he went second. And Comtois technically got the shootout winner there.
Yeah.
Like, one, but.
So, okay, there you go. Kevin Shattenkirk, you're going second.
Yeah.
You've helped guys get goals tonight. You're going second. Let's see who else just for that night was also on the ice. Yeah, Henrique was there that night.
Mm-hmm.
That was the game that gets left. If I'm not mistaken, Troy Terry
against
had a
the
goal.
Kings.
Yeah, Troy Terry had a goal that night.
Wait, sorry, you're talking the shootout win against the LA Kings?
Yes,
that was the 9th of October. That was like beginning of the season. Oh wait,
nope.
No, I'm looking at the preseason one. I'm sorry, I'm way fucking off. Yeah. Because okay, so beat the Kings in a shootout there.
Yeah, yeah. Shattenkirk had the one goal in the first period there. But yeah, like the shootout order went Terry. That's good. Zegras, that's good. And then, yo, we're going to put it all in the hands of Kevin Shattenkirk.
Yeah. Yeah, so Shattenkirk did get a goal that game. Sorry, he got the second goal. That's right, yeah. I see now. Because I was looking at the wrong game. Because I'm an idiot.
But again, though, you look down the bench and you go for my third shooter. When I still have a guy like Adam Henrique there, I'm going to go Kevin Shattenkirk. I got a guy like Silverberg there who, no, he didn't put up any points and he's been kind of quiet lately. But I got Silverberg there. I'm going to go Kevin Shattenkirk.
To be fair,
I'm hammering on this way too long, but I don't even care. You look down the bench. You got young stud right now on your third line, Isaac Lundestrom, who had a goal that game. I'm gonna go with Kevin Shattenkirk.
I mean, old reliable, right?
You even look down the bench and you go, I got my number one defenseman here, Cam Fowler, who had a goal tonight as well. He's got the hands right now. He's looking good. I'm gonna go Kevin Shattenkirk.
Okay, here's why I'm going to try and defend Dallas Eakins one last time. So, Nate, I know you're a golfer, right? Big golfer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's fast forward. I want you to close your eyes for a second.
All right.
Okay. Fast forward 30 years. You got a wife. You got two beautiful children. They're mature now. They're like 14 and 16 years old. You love them. They love you. It's Father's Day. And you're going to like the nicest course that you got. You're about to tee off on the first hole and you're just there to have a good time, right? So what do? You bring very first tee, you got to show the kids who's boss that you're not messing around. You grab your old reliable, your big meaty driver that has been doing you well for the last 25, 30 years, right? That's the Kevin Shattenkirk I'm talking about. Once you get into the later holes when you're like so far ahead of the kids, you know, it's like you're like minus 20 on the day and they're like triple bogey every hole, right? That's when you're like, ah, fuck it. I'm breaking out the 5 wood on the brand new shiny one that kind of sucks. I got it at a garage sale, but you know, it's we're hole 8. I don't care. It's 600 yards away. Let's see what this puppy can do. That's when you bring out the Lundestroms. That's my defense from the old eyes of Dallas Eakins.
Now I'm going to take your thing and just apply it to that Kings one specifically. All right.
Okay.
You take out the driver that's been doing you well for however many years. You're on a par three, but it's a long par three, so you're bringing out the driver. That's your Troy Terry, right? That's going to get you started here.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it was a save in that, but we're just looking at the people here. All right. You got Troy Terry. And that gets just to outside the green there, right? Mm-hmm. You got Trevor Zegras, who is going to be your pitching wedge, right? Mm-hmm. You've practiced, you've worked with this pitching wedge, and it's working great for you right now, right? You're a few rounds into the season, and your pitching wedge is working wonders for you, right? It's shaving off, with your pitching wedge, like having improved that, you're shaving off, your strokes. Mm-hmm. And then you're on the green. You got a nice layup, maybe five, 10 yard putt, right? Mm-hmm. Or let's go like five yards. All right, okay. It's doable. You can definitely do it. Mm-hmm. Normally, in this case, you would grab your putter. You're on the green, but you decide to take out your 7 iron instead. It's not your typical club, but you just happen to put it in.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like it happened to go in, but that's not what you should have been grabbing out of your bag.
No, you're having a fun time. I don't know. we're getting so far off the rails right now. We've talked about Kevin Shattenkirk.
I love how I'm hammering this hard on the shootout. I get it, but like,
yeah,
just there's it's one thing if it was just for that Kings game. The fact that we keep going back to Kevin Shattenkirk for a shootout, though, when there's all these other guys, though, is making me kind of like wonder what the hell's going on.
Okay, we're gonna come back to this another time because given how this game against the Sabres went, there's no reason why we should be talking about Kevin Shattenkirk for 15 minutes. So we're just going to agree to disagree. I'm going to take this up next time when hopefully maybe we have nothing exciting to talk about. Okay. Before we get to the game against the Sabres, though, I just want to talk about the overtime in general, because I couldn't watch this game. But I was working and I got home just in time to throw on some overtime. I know it's terrible. I got home just in time to throw on some overtime, and I was like, oh, sick. We've got Ovechkin. We've got Kuznetsov. We've got John Carlson. Those three guys on the Caps, they're going to be tough to stop. We've got Troy Terry. We've got Zegras. We've got Drysdale. Like, the dream team out there on the Ducks. This is going to be a wild overtime. And I was so bored for like 5 minutes. There was very little going on. There was a couple like decent kind of chances, but I was not having it. There was one shot at the end of it. We got one shot in 5 minutes. Caps got none. That was an awful overtime. Yeah, because it was all possession. That's all it was. I'm not a fan.
I honestly chalk it up to it's the Washington Capitals, right? That is a powerhouse team. I honestly I feel like we were lucky to get out of that alive.
Yeah, but
like to get into a shootout even.
No, but we had the better chances in that. Yeah, honestly.
I don't know.
Like
you're right. It was horrible, but I don't really have anything to add. But
yeah, that shouldn't be that boring though. Is my point. Like this is when these kind of overtimes happen. It makes me want to implement the shot clock just for overtime. And I know that's a drastic measure because I saw one bad overtime, but it's like.
I get what you mean, though. It does happen for like quite a few teams, right? It's not just us in this case, right?
No,
like,
but the 3-on-3 is slowly getting more possession-based as teams. Like when it first started, that was fun because teams were playing it was 5-on-5, and you cannot play 3-on-3 like it's 5-on-5. But now teams are like, okay, we need to have possession. We got to, you know, do laps around the face-off dot until and then tire teams out, and then we just
I get it. It's trying to you want possession, obviously, right? Because that's how you're gonna put the puck in the net. But it's it's trying to find that, because teams work on this kind of stuff, right? It's trying to find that right moment for that play to work. It'll give you the best chance, right? I get it. Yes, it does drag on, but I understand kind of the evolution of it right now. I would still much prefer to have 10 minutes of 3-on-3 instead of the shootout, personally.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it's, and I've been beating on this for, God, how long have we been friends? I'm pretty sure I've been beating on this forever. For at least that.
Yeah.
Of, I don't believe that a team game in the end should come down to a skills competition, right? That doesn't seem right to me, but, you know, NHL's going to NHL.
But when are you going to see Kevin Shattenkirk go 1-on-1 against the top goalies in the league? Sorry.
Any other night when he's lined up at the point.
But I think I think that the NHL just needs to recognize that 3-on-3 is not what it used to be, and next season they need to do something to make it fresh. I think the 10 minutes is the number one thing that needs to happen. I agree. If you could only make one change to 3-on-3 overtime, that's the one that should be made. But the other thing is, I don't know if shot clock is the answer, because I don't like that. And then how long until it creeps into the other 60
regular
minutes,
play,
right?
And I get it.
So I'm not a fan of that.
I can tell you from lacrosse, though, it is fun.
Yeah.
Or even basketball, right?
Yeah. So. Honestly, I actually, just thinking about this right now, it just popped into my head. I think I forget what sport it is that has it, but implement like the over and back rule. So once you go into the zone, you can't carry the puck.
Yeah, lacrosse has that.
It's lacrosse?
Yeah. It's at least one sport that does have it.
Yeah. So. I want to say that that there's something like that in basketball or soccer, but I don't follow them enough to really know.
Yeah.
But that's the big thing that drives me nuts, is when they take it into the zone and then they circle back out. I'm fine with that in regulation, because it doesn't happen very often. Yeah. But I'm not a fan of it in the overtime. And I think that would help generate more offense. You're forced to try and keep that puck in and just be given what you got. Like, if you don't like it, then just ditch the puck and haul ass backwards. But I think that will generate some more chances. Because to me, this should be a very exciting overtime with a highly experienced veteran Capitals team and a fast and young Ducks team. Yeah. That should be a recipe for an insane 5 minutes or less. So.
Yeah, I'm not arguing with anything you said here.
That's my opinion.
Yeah. Okay, really quickly before you move on to the Sabres game, and you know, we're going to dominate with that goal. I just want to share this tweet that popped up on my phone here from @SportsFanTears. who said, "I'm so glad that the Quack Report also sees the insanity of having Kevin fucking Shattenkirk as one of their first shooters in the shootout."
Nice. Okay, yeah, Chris Tramon in here. The basketball does have the over and back. Thank you for for covering for me for that.
I'm not a general sports knowledge. Not a crazy basketball guy. So
yeah. So I knew that it was in there somewhere. And wasn't Gary Bettman? Didn't he do some stuff with the NBA like way back when?
Yeah, he was deputy commissioner. Like second in command for the NBA before he came to the NHL. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, let me just, I'm just going to shoot him an email after that and just be like, 3-on-3 overtime, over and back rule.
Yeah. You know what we could also do, though? And I'm not trying to start a whole other conversation. So I'll just leave it at this statement. All right. We could also just get rid of Gary Bettman and get somebody in who wants to innovate the game a little bit more and, not be kind of a piece of shit around the rest of the stuff and just worry about money. Anyway, moving on. We got the Ducks and Sabres, and holy shit, that goal.
Oh my God. That was insane. Like, first of all, you're thinking Zegras is back there. He's going to do the Michigan. And then, but there was the Sabres defenseman, so obviously it wasn't going to work. But the guy has the fucking audacity to flip it over the net, fake the Michigan and flip it over the net to Sonny Milano. Like, who fucking thinks of that?
Like, I remember was it earlier this season that I think he tried it? Tried the Michigan, or was it?
He's tried it a couple times.
It was last year because this was part of our internal promo as well, like us talking about his like him attempting it and that kind of thing. And so the funny part is he was interviewed after that game, and he said that he had the time and room, and Milano was yelling at him, Michigan, 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 like recognizing that he has the time and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And Zegras goes, yeah, but no. Fakes a Michigan essentially and throws it over the net for Milano to bat the puck in, right? Like the announcers for that game initially thought that it went off the goaltender's back, and that's what I thought as well. I'm like, excuse me. But then you see the replay, and Milano bats that puck in.
Yeah.
Also,
he's waiting for Zegras to do the Michigan and then expects it, but then still bats it in anyways.
Yeah, exactly. But also, though, the hand eye on Sonny Milano right now, I want to take a bit of a slight detour because he's the guy who scored the goal. Yes, the assist was beautiful. But the goal itself, right, like that batting into the puck, the hand-eye coordination, because he batted in as well the second goal against the Capitals.
Yeah, that's true.
Like on a backhand bat in. Like the hand eye on this, and apparently there's a video from I think it was around like his draft year or something like that of him just like, I was listening to 32,000. They were talking about this. So I haven't actually seen the video yet, but it's apparently him like, he's like rolling the puck like up and down the shaft on like the edge of the blade and like in the blade itself and stuff like that. The hand eye on this guy is just insane. And I also want to throw out there because, yes, we've been talking about how him and Zegras have been great this year and stuff like that. And we've been, talking about Zegras, the points he's putting up and stuff like that. But we didn't really take a look actually at the points for Sonny Milano right now, who has 19 and 21 games played.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He's picked it up too. Yeah.
Holy and is currently has a shooting percentage right now of 17.9, which is a little high. It'll come down, but that's holy hell.
Yeah, that's good. For sure. I've just found the video because I meant to bring it up as well. I was listening to 32 Thoughts earlier. So let's toss this in here. Oop. Oh, come on.
We're lagging.
Jeez. Where's the hashtag? Carter needs better Wi-Fi.
Maybe we can just like send out a tweet with a link or something like that.
Yeah.
After,
forget it. It's
for our listeners as well. Not everybody's watching this. So, that's true. You should so that you can, see videos and stuff like that that we're showing here on our Quack Report episodes. So, yeah, go check us out on YouTube and Twitch when we're live. YouTube, we stream it to there and it's for your viewing pleasure. So,
Yeah. I like to think, going back to this goal as well, I like to think that Zegras was thinking, initially like, okay, I will do the Michigan, because but as soon as he picked it up, whoever the the defenseman is on Buffalo. I don't know who it was, and I don't really care either. went to like knock his stick down, like, you know, full two-hander slash to try and knock the puck off, which is really the only way you can defend that.
Or just body the dude.
Exactly. But that's so I like to think it, that Zegras was gonna go for it, saw that the guy was moving in on him, and was like, boop, let me just toss this up to Milano.
But the best part was that, like, he still fooled that defenseman though with it, because as he pops it over, he fades away in that direction, right? So he 100% had the defenseman fooled there. I have the clip up here. I'm just trying to see who the defenseman was.
Oh yeah. Honestly, I don't even want you to say his name, because like that's like dishonor upon his family and stuff like that. Like, he's gonna have to pack up and move to the KHL.
Honestly, from that view, I can't even tell. Let's see if we got a close up of it. Hiller, number 33.
It could be Miller.
Yeah, I think it's Hiller.
Right. Oh, you think it's Hiller?
Or Miller. Yeah. I can't tell the angle here.
That's fair. You said 33?
Oh, no, it's a Miller.
It's a Miller. Colin Miller. I wanted to say Colin, but I didn't want to be an idiot in case
he wasn't playing. And then, okay, so everybody's talked about, you know, the goal, right? So as great as it is, right, we're kind of beating on the same drum that a lot of people have.
Yeah.
So I want to look at the reaction of the two of them, right? Milano is just in fucking elation. I'm gonna see if I can pull up this picture at least.
I love Zegras's reaction, where he's just like, fucking believe that he
shock. It's got to be on the Ducks Twitter here. Let me find it here.
When I first saw it, I thought this was something they were working on, like after practice or something. Like,
no,
Zegras was like, dude, come over to my house, we got to practice this move that I've been dreaming of. But no, like, this was just spur of the moment, like, let's see what happens. And like, I'm telling you, these two guys, they should never not be on a line together.
So there's a video that the Ducks shared here. I think this is this Wisconsin University, I think, or something like that. But like, college players are already trying this in practice.
No way.
Like,
it's the same as Michigan.
Sorry. I'm also seeing there is a video here. It's, mind you, this is a lot more like joking around kind of thing. But a video from September 18th of it's Drysdale and Zegras. And Zegras, you know, picks it up. He kind of takes his time and then like launches it almost to the ceiling, and Drysdale just like taps it into the bucket that's right below him here. Okay, where did the picture is here. I know it is.
Oh, of the reaction?
Yeah. Also, I just want to, if by chance anybody from the Ducks listens to this as well, I want to thank the Ducks social media, specifically the Twitter, for making the Supreme Victory thing with Wild Wing. The fans have been wanting them to do that forever, and it's so great. Yeah. I love it.
That's good shit.
Okay, I found the picture here. Let's see if I can I share this here. I know I can. I just. Am I capable right now?
Can you put your two collective brain cells together to make it
so happen? This isn't the picture I was necessarily thinking, but this still sums it up, right? Milano is just like excited and that kind of thing, and Zegras is just like he puts his hands on his head and he's like, holy shit, that actually worked, which is hilarious. And then you would see them, it was showing them like on the bench, right? And like they're laughing, right? They're like, holy shit, that worked! It actually like happened, kind of thing. So, I love that. So
you didn't actually share the picture. I just want you to know that.
Oh, what?
Yeah, you shared it. It didn't pop up on the stream.
No, and I already closed the tab. God damn it!
That's hilarious. I thought you were just like describing the picture for the listeners.
Nate just dropping the ball.
Yeah, and then you were gonna like throw it up here for the people that we have on the live stream.
I meant to throw
you
it.
You're such a tease to them. Yeah, oh my god.
I'm sorry, everybody.
I wanna talk about the other side here, because like is anybody taking a, is anyone looking after Ukko Pekka Luukkonen? This is his fifth NHL game, like, and his first of the season, and he gets this shit pulled on him. Like,
is any, I think the bigger question is anybody looking after the Buffalo Sabres? Because they're trying. General. They are actually trying this year. Yeah. We were talking about it before. I'm like, you know, this isn't a bad team. Right, mm-hmm. They're just struggling goaltending wise, and so they throw in like a basically a brand new guy, and you got this shit pulled on you. I think it was, who was it that? I'm picturing him in my head right now, and I'm picturing the entire thing. Mike McKenna, that's who it was. Mike McKenna, I think was like one of his first NHL games or something like that. And he had the Ovi Hotstick goal scored on him. And so he is in those highlight, in that highlight clip forever. Mm-hmm. And now you're going to have, sorry, what did you say his name was?
Ukko Pekka Luukkonen.
Ukko Pekka
Luukkonen. I worked on this beforehand because I wanted to be able to.
And now he's going to be in that highlight reel forever.
Yeah.
It sucks to be the goalie sometimes. As great as it can be, it does suck sometimes when you're on the receiving end.
Yeah. To be fair, though, what do you do against that? You're trying to look and see what the guy behind the net is doing, and all of a sudden it's somehow in front and then behind you again.
Yeah, like, the only thing
you can't blame him for that.
The only thing you can honestly do in that position is just hope it hits you.
Yeah,
that's all you can do.
And that's what he did. He as soon as he realized it was maybe coming over, he backed into the net and like tried to do something, and that was it. There's no saving it. Tried to prevent it from going off of him and in. Really?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, it's just insane. absolutely insane.
Yeah. So I'm going to throw this out at you.
Okay.
Because seeing on Twitter, a lot of Oilers fans getting salty last night. I mean, about a few things.
As usual. Yeah.
But this goal in particular is what I'm talking about here.
Yeah.
Being a fan of both teams, what was the better goal of the year? Right? Yes, Milano is the one who scored it. Yeah, we see a bat in every now and then. But let's look at, the entire context here.
Yeah.
Right? You got Trevor Zegras, who pulls a fake Michigan to toss it over the net for a bat in goal. Right? Mm-hmm. Didn't hit the ice or anything. Just straight batted it in.
Yeah.
And then you have Connor McDavid, who, is holding the puck just outside the blue line, takes a look and sees that there's four New York Rangers there, and he goes, you know what, I got this. And if you watch that in slow motion, he like stick lifts guys and everything. He's doing so much that hockey IQ on that guy, and the hand skills is amazing. Right? And pots it in. It kind of impresses himself, though.
Yeah.
All right, so that's a description of both goals. And luckily for myself, I was able to see both, and one of them in person being the McDavid goal.
Yeah.
Right. Like you saw me, even I sat there going, holy shit, did that just happen? Right.
Yeah.
As much as I'm not an Oilers fan, I respect obviously like Connor McDavid and stuff like that until he's throwing around elbows. But okay. So you look at those two with context, right? To the entire play. What right now is goal of the year?
Okay. To me, these are very different
goals. I know this feels a little biased right now because we're on a show, but that's why I'm asking you, because you're a fan of both.
Yeah, no, for sure. So there's, I know, because I know you've listened to the most recent 32 Thoughts.
I'm not quite done it yet. I think I'm maybe.
It's the, you would have heard. Oh, okay. I think you would have heard this part. Maybe not, though. But they were just talking about the, or Merrick was saying, like, these are two very different goals, just in general, like in terms of style. Zegras is what can I do that's never been done in hockey before? And that's Zegras' whole thing, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yeah. It's just fun. He's out there having fun. And then Captain Sirius 2.0, because obviously Captain Sirius version 1 is Jonathan Taves, but Connor McDavid, his is just, he's doing hockey things just at an insane speed. Like when you were saying, when you watch it in slow motion, like honestly, when you watch that goal, it's like watching that scene in one of the more recent X-Men movies with Quicksilver.
Oh yeah.
And everything's and the, just the mansion blows up and he's like, oh, I've got this. And it's just like a whole montage. It's like that. It's like Connor McDavid's going at normal speed and everybody else is in slow motion. And he's like, boop, let's get this out of the way. This,
Kick
this
out, guy, just clear my
and
way,
then go in. Yeah. So, it's hard to compare them is what my point is, because they are so different. And also, okay, but if there's okay, the recency bias of Zegras's goal too, because it literally just happened last night for when we're recording.
Let's simplify this. All right.
Okay.
You're doing top plays of 2021. This includes going into last season, right?
Okay.
But you're stuck between these two plays for number one. Which one are you picking? Which play are you picking?
It's so tough. Okay. I have to ask this. Is this a video for like just hockey fans? Like this is going out to, it's like on The Athletic, it's behind a paywall. These are the top 10 plays.
No, this is TSN
top 10 trying to get everybody into the game. Like look at what's going on in hockey this year.
Okay. This is Sportsnet plays of the year.
Okay.
So that includes different sports. But you're looking at these two. You're like, these are going to be the top two plays.
So literally everybody that watches sports is going to be watching this.
Yeah. And you're looking at these two plays.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not sure which one is number one, which one's number two.
Okay. In that case, because I think there's a... This is going to sound so stupid. And people, it's like... It's not even a good
answer. I know
where
you're going with this already.
Because the NHL is the smallest sport of the big four in North America, they have to market this as, oh my gosh, look at how much fun this is. So I think on that highlight reel, it has to be the Zegras one because it's not like...
Where I thought you were going, actually.
Oh, no, because it's not... Like, you look at Connor McDavid's and it's impressive, but just the casual sports goer that doesn't really pay attention to hockey isn't going to notice all the things that... the little things that he does that makes that impressive.
Mm-hmm.
But when they watch the Zegras one, they're like, he picked the puck up on his, just with his stick and threw it over the net and the guy batted it in. What the fuck?
That's not normal, like, hockey
you
stuff.
You know that that's not normal and that is, takes so much skill. Whereas the McDavid one, it's like, okay, there's some speedy guy that just like skated past all these other guys and put it in. So from that perspective, that's why I think that one has to be better.
Why did I instantly think of a t-shirt with Connor McDavid on it that just says, just some speedy guy?
Just some speedy boy. Oh, man. Because we don't even have our own merch, we got to sell that to the Oilers podcast on THPN and see which one picks that up.
No, even better, we'll give it to the guys at in the dome or Barn Burner, like the Flames guys.
Oh, yeah.
We'll
just some speedy boy.
Some speedy boy. Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
But that's what I think would actually happen in reality is that Zegras one would be put at number one.
But I'm asking if you're putting this together, which one are you
putting? If I'm putting this together with my personal experience, and I don't give a fuck what anyone else thinks, I'm putting that McDavid goal at number one.
And you're wrong. Get fucked.
No, because I was there for that one. It was the game-tying goal. I got to, again, see it live, which means I was there for that one. So it's the same thing. I was drunk and having a good time. So that's why I put that one at number one.
You were drunk that night. That was kind of funny.
I didn't want to be. I was like, beers are expensive. I'm having like two tops. And then I was like, oh, fuck, this is a good game. Let's go.
I was like, the rest of us were just like chilling. We had a couple drinks, but like not even buzzing. And you're just like, let's go.
I was a little out of hand.
But it was funny because I actually didn't even realize until like we got back to the vehicle that night.
Yeah.
That was when I was like, oh, Carter's drunk. Sweet. And I kind of remember it. I'm like, oh, yeah, he had a few beers. Okay, yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. So that's my opinion. I know you probably just not to say that the Zegras goal.
Your opinion's wrong. And so. Okay.
Fair enough. I think let's take a quick break. And if we want to talk about this more afterwards,
yeah, we're at like 50 minutes. Jesus.
Yeah. So much for the mid roll. This is more like the almost near the end roll.
Yeah.
The ad. But we're going to throw it over to our friends over at DraftKings here. Use promo code THPN at sign up for exclusive offers, and we'll see you on the other side.
Football fans, I'm sure we all love an action packed, high scoring NFL game. And with the latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once a single point is scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. It's that simple. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you can still get in on all of the NFL action. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. So, what are you waiting for? Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use the promo code THPN, bet $1 on any team to score, and win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code THPN, as in the Hockey Podcast Network, this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL.
Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
We didn't even talk about the Stoli the goalie shutout.
Yeah, Stolarz just, you know, backstopping that team. Who, you know what? There wasn't a whole there wasn't a whole lot of offense as well by the Ducks in that game.
He
stood on his head. It was good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he got peppered with shots in the third as well.
Yeah, shots ended up 25-23 for the Sabres.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, overall, pretty low shot game. I was kind of defensive.
It really was. Yeah, so, it was. But good.
I don't want to say boring, but traditionally boring, like Islanders hockey kind of boring, where like if you can look at the game from a all perspectives kind of thing, it's good. But if you're just there for the goals, it's not.
It's even worse for them because they just snapped an 11 game losing streak. The Islanders, oh, really? I mean, with a win last night, I believe. But yeah, like, you know, as a goalie too, it's sometimes hard when you have low shots because
It's hard to stay in.
It's trying to stay focused and that kind of thing. So good on him, right? I was touting for a while that he's a great backup option for us and that. And another thing that Nate's getting right now. Look at that.
There you go. Yeah,
look at that. Who would have thought?
Yeah, it makes me makes me nervous for the future. It makes me excited, but also nervous because we obviously have Dostal coming up, who's potentially going to take that over very soon. So, like, when do you? I don't see us getting rid of Gibson anytime soon. No. I think that's not even really an option, honestly. So, like, when do you sell high on Stolarz? Because we can't keep all three, obviously.
I feel like that's a free agency thing, and we unfortunately just lose them.
Yeah, that's fair. So, do you think if the Ducks aren't in, hopefully not, because we're putting together a pretty solid season, but you think if the Ducks aren't in a playoff position come free agency, Stolarz goes?
They would definitely need to play him more for him to be of any true value to a team.
That's true.
Unless that team absolutely needs goaltending.
Yeah.
Like kind of like a Toronto Maple Leaf situation last year where they had Anderson out, weren't sure about Campbell kind of thing, and they bring in a guy like David Riddick who has some pedigree to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, actually, Stolarz has an extra year on his contract. I thought he was done after this season. So maybe you don't want to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to, but it might make it enticing for another team. I don't know. Yeah, I don't want to get rid of him either. I'd like to keep him. And Dostal,
because also we haven't seen. Though. Yeah, that's true. We haven't seen Dostal. Sorry, I'm just so excited for this kid. So
that's fair.
But
speaking of which, do we want to jump ahead to a Gulls update?
Yeah, sure. So
all right, we'll do this quick.
You looked up all this info, so I will let you take the reins on this because I have not followed the Gulls this
season. I haven't really either. I just more kind of took a look. I followed them and that kind of stuff, and I just kind of see, you know, win, loss, whatever. But I haven't been focused on it. I've been a lot more focused with this Ducks team because it has been fun this year, actually. So the Gulls currently, at the time of our stream right now, Wednesday night, are 8-8-1 on the season. Jacob Perreault and Braden Tracy are leading the team in points right now, 15 points in 17 games for each of them. And Lucas Dostal with 9 games played, 5-4-0, a 2.8 goals against average right now, and 897 save percentage. So the stats for Dostal aren't looking great, but you kind of take a look at the record. And I haven't been paying close attention, so there is maybe something more going on here kind of thing, but hopefully those numbers improve for both the Gulls and Dostal for the season. So
yeah, no, for sure. I mean, we have had to call quite a few guys up just through injuries. So maybe that's affecting a little bit of chemistry down there. Mm-hmm. I feel like we've seen Perreault up for a couple games here and there. So, yeah. And I mean, we've sniped their best point scorer in Trevor Zegras. Like, he was huge for them last year when he wasn't with the Ducks. Drysdale, and Jamie Drysdale.
Yeah.
They were doing awesome until we called them up, and then the Gulls kind of regressed a little bit, and now I think we're just seeing the effects of that. So
yeah, but that's not a horrible thing. I mean, obviously you want your minors to have success and that kind of thing, but really the whole point of it is to feed the big club. So
yeah exactly. But, and I mean, 500's not bad. Like,
oh no, you can't complain definitely about not that.
Yeah,
no. So yeah.
Yeah, we'll do another update at some point. But that's I'm glad that you threw that in, because we did that quite frequently last season and then haven't.
We just needed something more to talk about, because we were.
Yeah,
it that wasn't depressing.
Yeah, that's fair.
So,
upcoming games. Let's get into a few of those. So we have three games coming up. One on Thursday. So if you're listening to the. Just the podcast version of this on Thursday, one tonight at or afternoon at 4 p.m. Pacific time, I guess.
Yeah, these are all 4 p.m. Pacific times.
Yeah, gotta hate those East Coast road trips. Yeah. But first one against Columbus. I guess to kind of take it back to our conversation last time, you were saying we should play Stolarz, and I said it kind of depends on how he plays against Buffalo. Do you play Stolarz?
I think you could.
I think any. You know, not any coach that didn't have a smooth brain would play Stolarz, but I think unfortunately we
you don't want to
see Gibson instead.
Yeah, even if it's your backup, you don't want to sit a guy after a shutout, right? You want to give him another chance. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. But
yeah, I mean, not saying that Gibson would be a bad choice, because we're blessed to have two solid goaltenders.
Yeah, but you're looking at a guy right now who just got a shutout. Yes, it was against the Buffalo Sabres, but
Then they're also playing the Columbus Blue Jackets. Like, that's a recipe for another one.
And we were just talking as well, like, this is a guy who got a shutout when there wasn't a whole lot of chances really had that he stayed focused through and that kind of stuff. And he made some unreal stops, honestly. So he's in his zone right now. Yeah. Play it.
The last time he played, he had a shutout against the Sens. So two shutouts in his last two games. Let's see if he can do it again.
Yeah. Play him. Let's go.
Yeah. Look, is it possible to win the Jennings Trophy when your one goalie plays like 70-some games, the other one plays like 10?
No, there's a minimum that each goalie has to play.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, there is a minimum that has to be played.
I mean, if he keeps putting up shutouts, like, I think you just keep rolling them.
Yeah, exactly.
Light a fire under Gibson and be like, hey, if you don't stop literally everything, like, this guy's going to steal your job.
Yeah, exactly.
Potentially his wife, too. I don't know.
Oh, God. Nah, man, I don't think anybody's stealing John Gibson's wife or that, because it's John Gibson. Have you seen that, man? That's a gorgeous man. I'm just going to throw that out there. He's a gorgeous man.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah.
The other two games we got, Saturday and Sunday, first one against Pittsburgh, the second one against St. Louis. So another back-to-back, as we talked about again last time. Both 4 p.m. Pacific starts. So, it'll be interesting to see what goes on there. Pittsburgh rolling right now. St. Louis having a fairly decent season, but we obviously saw them quite a bit last year. So,
Pittsburgh is currently, again, this is on Wednesday night, currently 7-2-1 in their last 10.
Oh, yeah.
Two-game win streak. They are about to face the Washington Capitals as well.
That'll be a good game, actually. Yeah,
the St. Louis Blues, a little bit better for us, are 5-3-2 in their last 10. So.
Yeah. Not great. Not bad, though. Just not bad. So, yeah. I mean, what are the Ducks in their last 10? I know we went on a bit of a skid there, but
are 4-4-2.
Yeah, that's pretty comparable, honestly.
But at Wednesday night, are currently sitting second in the division. If you talk about games played, I'm going to quote the Ducks from social media here. If you talk about games played, I'm going to block you. I mean, we're 2 points back on the Flames, which we have a matchup with them coming up right away, right?
That's true.
That could be huge.
And against the Oilers. So those are going to be huge divisional games. If you would have told me at the beginning of the season that these games against those the Jets are going to be the most important, yeah. I would have laughed in your face. But those are huge games, actually.
Yeah, exactly. So. It'll be interesting for sure. So, and we are going to try to. I think we started talking about it during the last episode. We are going to try to hit up that game in Calgary. Actually, we're just trying to
seriously considering it. Just waiting for good deal on tickets. So
yeah, exactly. So
yeah. So most likely we'll be going, and I think that'll be a ton of fun.
Yeah. I want to throw this up here quick. We got Mighty Chris saying we're predicting we're going to go 2-0-1 in the next three. I like that thought process, honestly. Yeah. I'll take five points.
Just out of curiosity, what's the overtime loss? Is that Pittsburgh or St. Louis? Or Columbus, technically. I guess. Technically, we could lose to Columbus. But.
So, okay, well, and... Yeah, I don't know. Is there much to talk about for, I guess, Pittsburgh and St. Louis? Or I guess we kind of talked about Pittsburgh. Okay.
Touched on them.
Do we want to throw to our last break before we get into what's quacking here? We got some fan questions and a game to play, and we can give Mighty Chris here a chance to answer what game is the overtime loss.
Yeah, sure. Sounds good. Okay. Sweet. See you on the other side.
I'm not trying to steal your job, but this is the perfect time to do it.
Hello, my name is Richard Blosser, host of the Grit and Barrett podcast here on the Hockey Podcast Network. Covering the Hershey Bears, the 11-time Calder Cup champions of the American Hockey League, and the 2018 Stanley Cup champion Washington Capitals. Each Tuesday, I recap Bears games, give you Bears news, notes, and nuggets, and all of the hockey news that matters to me, whether it's the American Hockey League, the NHL, or banter about hockey jerseys. This hack brings you high energy.
They score! Connor McMichael has ended the game!
Unfiltered. Look, Herco's really going to have to work hard to bring back the fan base from this pandemic, because you can't just rely on vaccinations. You have a fan base that is old, stubborn, and very reluctant to change. Not to mention, you got to work on bringing back families, and then whatever fan base you can try and get back from other parts of the state. You just can't rely on people coming out from 81 and 78. You got to work on a fan base that's very, very hesitant to change. And at times, unfocused. Look, Ovechkin is basically the guy who comes into the bar, kicks open the door, and says, "Who ordered a White Russian, huh?" Well, we all know Sidney Crosby is the guy who enters in from the side door, red carpet, VIP, Armani suits, and alligator shoes. That's just the type of guys they are. So join me every Tuesday here on the Hockey Podcast Network for the Grit and Barrett Podcast. Follow me on Twitter at Grit and Barrett P1. That's Grit, G-R-I-T, and B-E-A-R-I-T P1 on Twitter. Available wherever you get all your podcasts. Part of the Hockey Podcast Network.
So Chris said St. Louis would be the overtime loss, which I would have to agree with if you're anyone there. I honestly think 2-0-1 is...
That's good. I'll take it.
Very possible, too. I think the way this team's been going, I could definitely see it happening. So what did we say for this road trip when we talked about it last episode?
We
said like 6 points would be good.
Yeah, 5 or 6 points would be great.
Yeah. It's kind of what we so far. Yeah. So,
it's possible.
If we could get out of this with 8 points.
Be great.
For sure. So, let's throw it over to what's quacking to wrap up the episode here.
All right. So before I get into the questions here, I want to give a couple shout outs just for in between these last two, like this episode and the last one. We've had some nice messages actually sent our way. So we had at Based Halo Quacks, who had tagged us in a post and just said, like, you know, great show today. This is referring to our last episode. Great show today, boys. Really good discussion. So thank you very much for that. We appreciate the kind words.
You get one of those.
As well as we had posted as well a clip from the Steve Dangle podcast recently that had just Steve using a fucking shitty job. Like, I counted it. I think it was 8 times in less than a minute. And so I was just kind of laughing. I'm like, man, that sounds like me, right? So, you know, make a post. Has he been listening to Nate on the Quack Report lately or that sort of thing? And we had our good buddy Chris at CJK Chell, another Chris, who had said like they should have us on an episode of the Steve Dangle podcast, as well as the guys at Crash the Pond. That, you know, us two shows need to get some SDP love for crying out loud. And, you know, to have it kind of suggested to be on like a big show like that as guests, that's awesome. We love that you guys love what we do, right? There's no reason for us to do it otherwise. So
yeah, exactly.
we can just Carter and I can just talk whenever we want to, kind of thing, right? Like,
yeah,
doing it
and
like
even this, then we don't really want to. So
yeah, like, doing it like this is for you guys, and if you guys aren't entertained, there's no point to it. So thank you very much for listening to two guys from Southern Alberta talk about Southern California hockey. It's great. So, and we really appreciate the support. So
yeah. Oh shit. There's my finger.
That ruined it, didn't you?
Yeah. I forgot to play this as well earlier, but this one's for Trevor Zegras. Come on, that's what it's there for.
So. Yes. All right, so we got two questions here. We got, you know, and Mighty Chris is actually in the chat right now, so we're gonna talk about his question here first. We did kind of talk about this, I think, a little bit last week, but with some recency bias now. Do you see Zegras winning the Calder Cup, especially with the goal yesterday?
Well, he's definitely on the radar of all of the East Coast announcers now. Like we talked about, the big thing was that because Detroit was in or is in the East Coast, more of the people that actually vote on these are actually able to watch these games because they're at a reasonable time, whereas for them, these games start at 10 p.m. on the West Coast, right? So with that being a game on the road that they were potentially watching anyways at that time, now it's all over the highlights and people are actually taking notice. Oh man, this Zegras kid, he just did that. How's he been doing the last little while? Oh shit, 7 points or whatever the fuck in his last three games? Let's start paying attention to this kid. So I think he was entering the Calder talks now. We're going to see Zegras for Calder
now. The eyes are on
all
him.
The time. Yeah. So if he can keep it up, he's going to be a favorite till the end of the year. So
yeah, Trevor Zegras in his last four games here, like four game point streak, and has 8 points in those last games as well. All assists, and I forget what the stat was, but he's like one of the first like young guys or rookies or something like that to have like multiple assists in consecutive kind of thing. I forget what it was offhand though.
Cool stat. I'm glad you brought it.
but yeah, currently 22 points in 25 games right now. He's definitely on the radar. After that assist last night, he took over the rookie assist lead actually.
Oh, nice.
So
he can't be too far off from points then either.
Yeah. Taking a look here, he had it going into that game last night.
Oh, okay.
Because because it was showing 15 and he has 16 now assists. So
nice.
Yeah. So he definitely needs to be in talks if he's not for some reason.
Yeah.
He's got to be there. So because he's a huge. I mean, Detroit was kind of in a similar situation, but we're looking at, you know, the Anaheim Ducks who were sitting 30th last year, mm-hmm. out of 31 teams, and has helped substantially in pulling them into second in the division right now. So
I know he starts putting more goals in, but I think he starts to run away with it, and it's not for lack of trying. His shooting percentage is just down. Like on the power play, he's pounding those one timers, and they're unfortunately just not going in for him. So I have a question. Was this Chris's question as well?
Chris.
So question for you and Chris, if he's still kicking around. Sure. At the beginning of the season, I put $10 on Caulfield for the Calder and $5 on Zegras.
Yep.
Is it time to just cash out on the Caulfield bet, take my losses and put the money into Zegras?
I think it might be.
How much more do I put on Zegras? Or do you think I should?
I think you could.
Right now, is Zegras a good, like, kind of high risk, high reward kind of guy?
I feel like he'd be a good guy to put another $5 down, make it like $10, and maybe pick one of those Detroit guys to be your other $5 pick.
That's true.
Eventually. Yeah. Or you could put $5 on both of those guys. Because I feel like it's currently going to be one of those three. is what it feels like.
Yeah, unless someone comes out of nowhere. But at this point, it's hard to say.
Yeah.
So,
but that'd be my thought.
Okay, sounds good. I'm just curious what the odds are. I use Bet365, but they'll be similar. Actually, Trevor Zegras is the favorite right now.
Love it.
+175 ahead of Raymond at +200 and Sider at +500. So.
Okay, so clarify this again, because I get a little confused on it. As much as I do the ad reads, I'm not the betting guy here.
Yeah.
So if you put down $5, so you have $5 down on Trevor Zegras right now.
Yeah.
Right? With that odd of +175, so if Zegras were to get it, how much money are you getting back?
I'd have to do some quick math, because the way that these ones are is if you put $100 down, you get $175 on top of that. So your payout is $275, but
it's an additional
because you paid $100. It's an additional $175.
Okay, so everything is based on a $100 bet.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay, so that makes sense. You don't have to do the math. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, but yeah, just out of curiosity, if you were to put $5 on Zegras at +175, it would be. Did I do that right? 175.
I don't know. I'm not the math guy here.
Yeah, you'd get $875. Would be your payout. So +5 would be $1,375 would be your payout. So, I mean, in comparison, it's more than you put down. Obviously.
Yeah, exactly. So, it is a win. So,
yeah. But. Actually betting on Zegras right now, not a great thing to do because the odds aren't the best.
Do you know what do you know what those odds were when you placed the bet?
If I log in, and this is assuming I remember my password, I can tell you. Yeah. Not that anyone really gives a shit, but they were +500. So my $5 bet would give me $30.
Oh, okay. That's not bad.
Yeah. Pretty decent.
Sweet.
If I cash out of my $10 Caulfield bet, they're willing to give me 96 pity cents. Yeah. It's not looking good. When he came back and he scored like a couple games in, I was like, maybe Caulfield is going to pop off, but he's been pretty
good. I'm not sure. I'm going to throw to this next last question here, which comes from Stressed Sports Fan at Sports Fan Tears, who we had brought up their tweet earlier about like the Shattenkirk and the shootout stuff. Mm-hmm. Really quickly before we do that. Yes, I just saw that there. Mm-hmm. Zegras is winning the Calder Cup from Mighty Chris. My prediction was on fire with the Angels, so I'll be right with the Ducks. Nice.
Mm-hmm. He said the same thing about up here earlier. I forgot to bring up that this was in regards to his 2-0-1 prediction. So,
gotcha. This is
the Mighty Chris guarantee right here.
All right,
let's Mighty guarantee, the Chris guarantee. Let me know what you want to call it.
Yeah. All right. So at Sports Fan Tears asked, with this new fun to watch up and coming Ducks team, what strengths, besides the ducklings, I love that, and growth areas, do you see this new team? What strengths and growth do you see in this new team? And do you think Eakins has been successful in being a component of those changes? Okay, so let's talk about the first half of that. So what strengths and growth have we seen in this new team that's not the young guys? Do you need a second? Because I have an answer for you already.
Go for it, yeah.
Okay. We talked about this before already, but Ryan Getzlaff in his game, how he's been able to evolve it to continue to play at a high level at the age he is. That's a big growth area, I think. Mm-hmm. And the strength is something that we've talked about kind of throughout, is that goaltending, right? If either one of those guys are on, we have a very good chance to win. Right.
Yeah. Even if we don't deserve to win the game because of our goaltending, we could steal one. Yeah.
Yeah. Like when those two guys are on in Stolarz and Gibson, they give us a chance. Right. And the guys behind them trust them to make those stops. So, So that would be my strength and growth for this new fun to watch up and coming Ducks team.
Nice. My strength is kind of related to the Ducklings, but not specifically. But I think it's just the emergence of the special teams as like actual units that you're okay putting on the ice, right? and that power play has been hugely in part to like Zegras and Terry and even Letarii when he plays. But we still have that second unit that I almost feel bad calling it the second unit because it's just as effective as the first one with, say, Fowler and Shattenkirk on the point and some a little bit more of the veterans, right? Like, just getting the power play figured out has been, like, monumental for how this season has gone. Because last season, like, if we would have scored on a couple, even just one of our power play opportunities a game, most games we probably would have still been in and had a chance at, right?
Yeah.
But A, losing out on the power play is a huge momentum killer, and not scoring on it, just you're not going to win if you can't score 5-on-4. Like, you got to be able to do that a little more than 8% of the time. So I think that's the big thing to me personally. In terms of growth, I was going to say Getzlaff as well. So nothing I really have to add there. Yeah.
Perfect.
What was the second? Oh yes, about Dallas Eakins. If he had
a part. The second part was: do you think that Eakins has been successful in being a component of those changes?
To an extent, yes. Because to me, Eakins gives off the kind of the cool uncle vibe, you know, where he's there to make sure that, you know, things have a little bit of structure to them, and that you're not going to like do anything stupid and kill yourself. Like, it's, but he's going to let you have some fun with it. Like, so because he's that young player coach, I think with how young the team is and him not saying to like Zegras and Milano, don't try that. Like, that was a cool play that you did to get that goal, but don't do that again. That's, you can't do that. Like, I don't see Eakins saying that. Maybe he did, but I highly doubt it, right? So, so I think to some extent by being a very passive coach, he's kind of contributed to those changes. But if I was to give credit, I think I would give it to the two assistant coaches we brought in the offseason to help the power play.
Okay, so we are along the same line. So yeah, I'd give it a little bit more. He definitely is a component, as you put it, Stress Sports Fan. Definitely is a component of it, but the full credit can't really be given to him from a coaching standpoint. You know, when we originally hired Jeff Ward, because the Flames had just had him, I was like, shit, we are going even further down the toilet. We are full on tanking. Okay, let's go, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, this so far has definitely proved that Jeff Ward is a better assistant coach, kind of specializing in an area compared to being a head coach, which he was god awful at. God awful. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Jeff Ward being our power play specialist, like our power play coach, right? That has really helped this season, obviously. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to be any worse than we were last year, right? But
not impossible, though.
I don't think we really expected this good, which let me double check what we're at.
Are we still around 25%? That was the last time I looked, but
yeah, let me take a look here. Power play percentage. The Ducks are currently fourth at 26.7%.
Yeah. Fourth in the league. That's amazing.
And to compare, the first place team is the Edmonton Oilers with 32%. So it's not bad.
Not far off. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very good.
Our penalty kill is up there in the top as well, isn't it?
Penalty kill is fourth as well, actually, at 85.9% compared to the Pittsburgh Penguins, who are at 91.9%. God damn.
Ooh. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. So yeah, he's definitely a component, though. And then as well as the addition of Mike Stothers there, right, who has plenty of different experience kind of just around hockey in general, where it was the NHL or the AHL, right? This is just a guy who was a great addition, I feel like, and has definitely helped out as well. So, but yeah, I do agree with you as a coach. I'm glad we're on that same wavelength as well. So,
yeah, for sure. But, okay. It was just the two questions we had.
Yeah, just the two questions. So, but thank you very much for sending those in. If you have any questions as well, you don't have to necessarily wait for the prompt. You can feel free to DM them or just tweet them at Quack Report Pod and say, hey, I want this answered on the next episode. Because sometimes if you're asking questions to the just to the Twitter in general, it'll just be my answer. And I try to kind of answer for the both of us, but obviously we have differing opinions sometimes. So,
Kevin Shattenkirk should go in the shootout.
so just say like, hey, this is for the next episode, right? It doesn't necessarily have to be a Wednesday live episode. It can be the Sundays. Feel free to shoot it to us. And because we don't have too many generally, we can get to them, right? So if you send it in, more than likely it's going to be answered.
Yeah.
So
and if it doesn't get on the next one, we'll run out of things to talk about and be like, oh, what about this question?
We'll need something. So
we always need stuff to talk about. We'll try and sort them in.
Yeah.
Or try and get them all in. So for sure. All right. Well, we have the official Mighty Chris guarantee that the Ducks are going to go 2-0-1 between now and our next episode against Columbus, Pittsburgh, and St. Louis. So that'll be good. We also have a Mighty Chris guarantee that Zegras is winning the Calder this year. So
love it.
Yeah. And also, I think an unofficial or indirect Mighty Chris guarantee that for January 6th when he's going on Angels Night wearing a Rally Monkey outfit and a Zegras orange Mighty Ducks jersey. That'll be awesome.
Like it.
So, due for a win on the 6th as well. Who are we playing on the 6th? I don't even know.
Hopefully,
a good team.
I have the schedule here. Let me take a look.
Yeah, I don't look that far in advance. I found it first. We're playing New York. Detroit. Oh, no, we're not. Detroit. Damn it. I just looked at the beginning of... I just picked one that was at the beginning of January. Yeah. Should be a good game for you. Yeah, so, okay. Well, Nate, where can they DM you any questions that they...
Are we not going to play this game? I totally forgot about that. I want to play this game with you.
Let's save it for next time. Yeah.
Actually? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Where can they DM you some questions for next episode?
You can DM them to me, obviously, at Quack Report Pod. That'll be probably the easiest way to put it all together. Mm-hmm. But if you want to, follow my personals or that kind of thing as well, you can do that at Tate Namas, TateNHomas on Twitter.
Yeah, the Quack Report inbox is for questions. Nate's personal inbox is for gifts of Kevin Shattenkirk, because obviously he loves him.
it's not that I hate Kevin Shattenkirk. He's just not the guy you pick for the shootout.
I know. And you can follow my personal at Carter_Potts, POTTS_97 as well. Thank you guys very much for tuning into the live stream, and for everyone that's listening afterwards, we really appreciate it. Let's go Ducks for this next three games. 2-0-1, baby.